Now, the question this morning that we're going to look at is one that a lot of people may not speak, but they think. And here it is. Why aren't people concerned about me? Let me say it again. Why aren't people concerned about me? This is the question normally you have the lonely people ask. Now, there are a lot of today who are perplexed by this problem of being lonely. And they keep asking, even God, I guess, why doesn't somebody care about me? It's the cry of the troubled people. Nobody seems to want to get involved in their troubles. It's the cry of the afflicted people. It's the cry of the bereaved people. It's the cry of the pained people. It's the cry of the confused people. I believe it's a cry that you can even find stated in the Word of God. In Psalms 142:4, the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand, and I beheld, and there was no man that cared for my soul. No one would help me. Now, that may be the feeling or the situation or the dilemma that you find yourself in this morning. And you are also asking that question, why don't people care about me? You know what people do in time of need is very important. Just to know that people care about you, to know that your existence is important to somebody, is important for us to consider this day. Now, some people, you hear them say, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care if people like me or not. There used to be a song that was popular years ago when I was a boy. It went like this, I did without you before I met you, and I'm going to get along without you now. Yes, sometimes I feel like these remarks are only a cover-up for the deep hurt that's in the heart of a person who is still asking the question, why doesn't somebody care about me? And to recover from the agony of that question, they just say, well, I don't need anybody. And deep down, all of us need somebody to help us, to care about us, to be interested in us when we ourselves are in the midst of great problems and trouble. I think all people come to church. I've had this brought home to me. I've asked the question a lot of times, why did you come to church in the first place? Why do you visit the church? What are you looking for? And I have found the majority of people, we're looking for somebody to be a friend to us. We're looking for somebody that will extend their hand of fellowship. We're looking for somebody that will take interest in us. We're looking for somebody that will care for us. So they're shopping around for, I guess what you might say, TLC, tender loving care. Someone who will take deep interest in their problems and their needs and in their life. Someone who will be sensitive to their concerns. And so that's what a lot of people go to church for and visit around looking for. Now, I ask this question next. What gives you the idea that the church is the place to go to find that? You know, you don't have out front of any church, we specialize in TLC, tender love and care. Well, I think one of the reasons that a lot of people might go to a church or even go to a Christian when they are lonely or when they are bereaved or afflicted or troubled is because the church and the Christian advertises that that's what they specialize in, is tender loving care. In a real sense, we say we're the loveliest bunch of coconuts on the block. If you don't believe it, come on down to our church and visit with us. We're a church that cares. And a lot of people who go down there looking for somebody to care find that there's nobody in the church that really can back up that slogan. And yet, those outside the church are pretty well associated or affiliated or have a knowledge of the message of the church. And that message is the church preaches love. And the church promotes love. And the church sings songs about love. And the church talks a lot about love. So there's no real reason why the people who come to church shouldn't be looking for somebody who'll care about them. And so the church has a message. And the message is, if you want somebody to care about you, well, come on down to us. We'll care about you. But when a person goes to church, is that really what they find? Does the church have an example, or does it have a policy that it can really prove that it cares about people? Chances are, it does not. Many people I have talked to have quit going to a church, and I ask them, why'd you quit going? And they say, well, nobody missed us. Nobody cared about us. Nobody talked to us. When we had troubles and we had problems and when we were sick and we were in need, nobody showed up. Nobody took time to call us or look into the matter of how they could help us. Why, that's why we left the church. And that's the reason a lot of people have left the church. Now, we advertise the policy, if you need somebody to care for you, well, come on down to church. But when the people come on down, they don't know where all those folks are that's going to care for them. Now, Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, is the philosophy of the Christian church. Be ye followers of God and walk in love as Christ has loved us. Now, that is what the Christian is supposed to do. He is to walk in a path that reveals concern for other people. He is to trod the way of kindness, as Christ did when He was up on the earth, doing things for people who were sick and needy and lonely and depressed and discouraged and confused. Jesus really was a person that was a helper to those in need. He showed He cared about people. And of course, on the cross, He showed He cared for a man in the problem of sin. But all during His life, before the cross, He showed He cared about man's problems, no matter what they might be. And so as a follower of Christ, we are to give the same impression to those that we meet and those that we have contact with, and that is, we are to walk in love, to let people know we care about them. And yet in the church, there are still many people who are disappointed. And with the outsiders, still ask the question, why aren't people concerned about me? What's wrong with me? And I think that's what I want to deal with this morning, is maybe give you some ideas or some clues as to why people don't show you concern. And so let's look at some possibilities. If you feel like that you're left out and nobody cares about you, and you left the church some years ago because nobody cared about you, let's look at some possibilities as to maybe why people don't care about you. All right? Possibility number one, it just may be that you were looking or you are looking for concern from the wrong people. Now, I think we as Christians have to face facts that there are some people, if you place your hope in them, you got the wrong person. They're not going to help you. They're not going to help their wife. They're not going to help their husband. They're not going to help their children. They're not going to help their pastor. They're not going to help their church. They're not going to help anybody. And so if I was going to seek some help from somebody, I think I would place my hope in those that would at least offer some possibility. Let's also face another fact. As Christians, there are a lot of what we call carnal believers. Those who get themselves saved and get the idea, well, that's all that I'm expected to do now. I can just do what I want to, and I don't have to change. The only person that will ever care about you is a person that takes on the character of Jesus Christ. And the only person that will ever take on the character of Jesus Christ is one who begins to make efforts to grow in grace. And the only person who will ever care about you is the person that stops being selfish. And that'll never happen until you begin to become like Jesus. If I was going to look for somebody to care for me, I would look for somebody who is seriously trying to motivate and cultivate their character like Jesus Christ. Otherwise, I don't believe I'd have any hope and that person caring about me. I've never found people to care about me that first did not have the care of Christ uppermost in their mind. And so the person is still controlled by their old carnal, selfish, sinful self. They're still self-centered. They're not going to care about you. And until that person allows the Holy Spirit to transpose and transfer the love of Christ into their heart, they're not going to care about you or Jesus or anything else. They're not going to get involved in anything that will cost them time, nor money, nor plans, nor routine, nor feelings. And it's sad to say we got a lot of folks in the church today who claim to be Christians that are just like that. And those kind of people are not going to help anybody. They never have and they never will until they allow themselves to become like Jesus. Too many people in the church are satisfied just to get salvation, sins forgiven, and go to heaven, and they're not going to allow Christ to make the heavenly life come alive in them right now. And if that doesn't happen, their salvation is not worth two bits. It doesn't do you any good, it doesn't do God any good, and it doesn't do anybody any good that needs you. You can't edify anybody unless you begin to develop the character of Jesus Christ, which is patience and love and long-suffering and gentleness and mercy, the things you need that will make you and motivate you to care about other people will only come to you if you allow the character of Christ to be developed in you. And that won't happen unless you begin to crucify the old carnal nature and begin to seek to grow in grace. So if you're going to look for somebody who will be concerned about you, possibility number one, you might be looking in the wrong place. You may have hope in somebody who is afraid to identify with you. You know, there are some people who feel like your problems might rub off on them. Instead of them helping you with your problem, you'll transpose your problem to them and then you'll both be in double trouble. These are the kind of folks like they have a phobia. They hear you got the whooping cough, they got the whooping cough. They're afraid of catching what you have, so therefore they're not going to be very comforting to you and very concerned about you because they feel what's happened to you, if they get involved, it'll happen to them. And so your plight is too painful for them to even think about. You remind them of what they want to forget. So when you're looking for somebody to help you, I wouldn't look for those kind of folks. Then there's one other possibility I think you must realize. If you want somebody to be concerned about you, I think you ought to put your hope in someone who knows how to be concerned. Now, can you feature a person who wants somebody to be concerned about them to go to the hospital nursery? And you run into the newborn babies. And you say to these little babies who all they can say is goo-goo and ga-ga and why and cry, you pour out your heart to them and say, "Now, baby, be concerned about me." Well, you wouldn't do that. You know, the baby says, "Man, I'm just a baby. I can't do anything for you. I don't know what to do. Don't come to me. I'm in a worse position than you are." Now, a lot of people who are looking for somebody to be concerned about them in the church, they run to the babies. Now, I don't mean the babies in the nursery of the church. I mean the newborn babies who are Christians, who have never matured and who have never grown. And they don't know how to be concerned as a Christian ought to be. And so your sorrows don't faze them. I mean, you can cry in front of a three-week-old baby. He's not going to be concerned about your tears. He's not going to be touched. He's not going to be overjoyed when you're happy. You see, you're going to have to find somebody who is a mature enough adult Christian who knows enough how to care about you, how to be concerned before you're going to have any real success of getting some relief. You hear a lot of people say, "Well, I just have a loss of words when somebody comes to me." Well, that's exactly the position of a little child. They have a loss of words. And so if you're going to look for somebody to be of a comfort to you, somebody to care about you, look for somebody with enough mature intelligence to know how to do it. Just any old person won't do because they don't know how. And then, last of all, your hope may be in someone who, for some reason, fights emotional display. And so they just sort of follow a program of hardness of heart. And they stiffen themselves against all opportunity of compassion because they're afraid that they might lose control and it would be very embarrassing if they choked up. They begin to cry and weep in your presence and begin to really feel the burden that you feel. And somebody say, well, if I just tried to be sympathetic, man, I'd just end up bawling. I couldn't do them any good or me any good. It'd just be a big mess. Well, if you have people who are afraid to get involved emotionally with you, I mean, don't go to that person or don't expect that person to be concerned about you. That's possibility number one. You're going to the wrong people or you're looking for it in the wrong people. All right, possibility number two. And I think this is a real problem that you're going to have to face, is that when people do show you concern, that you don't show appreciation to them for the concern they show. I remember the story of Jesus. He healed the 10 lepers, you know, and what happened? Well, only one of them came back and he said, where are the other nine? Now, Jesus could have said, man, I'm going to give up on all these lepers. If that's the way they're going to do me, I mean, if I'm going to take all my time and my concern, I'm going to stop and go out of my way to help these people who are lepers. And then when they get what they want, they don't even come back and say, how to do a thank you, anything else. I'm fed up with these lepers. Now, sometimes when people show concern to us, we don't thank them, we don't show any appreciation, we don't show that we receive any benefit from them whatsoever, and no wonder they don't come back again and give it to you. There are many people who give the idea once the church helps them, they never thank the church. They never thank anybody in the church. They sort of give the idea, well, I don't need your church anyway. There are those who seem like to say, well, I don't need your sympathy. I don't want your help. I don't like people sticking their nose in my business. This is the reaction that people get if you don't show any appreciation. You don't have to make all over them, and you don't have to just keep saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you every day. But I mean, if you're not going to show anybody appreciation for the time they take to show you concern when you need it, don't look for them to come back a second time. I think if they're commanded to be in love for you and show you sympathy, then you're in command to be thankful for it. God says thank Him for it. And so if you push folks away by revealing in your face or by saying with your mouth that you didn't appreciate their interference in your life, well, don't expect them to come back again. You better be a willing receiver. You're going to have to show yourself receptive. And not only that, but when you talk to other people about what somebody did for you, if you let it out in a sort of a joking way, boy, they sure didn't help me, that'll get back to those people. Not only that, but it's going to get around everybody else. But you're the kind of person, no matter who helps them, it won't be right. So if you belittle your sympathizers, you keep saying to the sympathizer, well, your idea won't work. I can't take your suggestion. What you're doing is discouraging people from trying to be concerned about you. So, this could be a real possibility why nobody cares about you. You don't appreciate it. You're not receptive. You turn them off before they really can do anything for you. Well, that's a possibility. Well, let's look at one more possibility, number three. And I believe this is basically the reason why people are not concerned about you. Now, you follow me. I, as a preacher, sometimes hear people say, who've been to the hospital, well, the preacher doesn't care about me. He didn't even come and see me. And you know what my comment normally is? Well, brother, if you had told me you were in there, I'd have come to see you. And they say, well, if you'd have cared, you'd have taken the time to find out I was there. Well, now, let's face it, folks. How on earth am I going to find out who's in the hospital? Call everybody on my church roll every day? And call a hospital every day? Every hospital? Now, let's be honest. How'd the doctor know you were in the hospital? How'd he know you needed some care? Oh, you went and told him. Well, I think you don't have a lot of concern shown for you by people because they don't know you want it. And mainly, they don't know you need it. Let me tell you this. When you're out in the water and you're about to drown and sinking, what do? Well, if somebody cares about me out here drowning, they see me out here, they'll come help me. Now, you don't do that. You stick your hand up and holler out, help. Now, that's the way you get people to show concern for you. Why aren't people concerned about you? I'll tell you why. Mostly, you don't ask them. You don't even speak up and let people know that you have a problem. And I believe this is a Bible principle that a lot of people just seemingly overlook and don't understand. It's the principle under which compassion operates. You remember the story of blind Barnabas? Why did Jesus stop? Why did Jesus take the time to show the man compassion and healing? Because blind Barnabas began to holler out, hey, Jesus, I need some help. And Jesus stopped and helped blind Barnabas because the man cried out for help. I don't believe Barnabas would have been healed if he had kept his mouth shut and said, well, if Jesus cared, he'll come over here himself. I don't believe they'd have been healed. Even Jesus, when he was in the garden prior to the crucifixion, he told his disciples, listen, my heart is sorrowful. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? I mean, even Jesus reached out for care and concern, and he let the people, disciples, know he needed it. I think when it comes to getting people to be concerned about you, you ought to operate by that the same way you do about prayer. You have not because you ask not. How do you get God's help? How do you get God's care? How do you get God's concern? You say, well, I'll pray about it. Well, then you're asking for it. You have not because you ask not. I believe Christian concern is available from many people within the church. But they have to know that you need. They have to know you want it. And that'll only be known if you're going to ask for it. Otherwise, they're going to take the idea you don't need help. You don't want help. And you're handling things satisfactory all by yourself. And things aren't quite so bad after all if you're not going to ask for help. And you can handle it all alone. And you want to be left alone. Now, normally people will reach out to you only after you have asked for it. And I think that's one of the basic reasons, 99 times out of 100, why people say, well, nobody cares about me. Chances are you never told anybody you want to be cared about. You never let it be known. You won't make it a guessing game. I think God is concerned about you, but He says you have not because you ask not. I think the Christian brother has concern for you, but again, you're going to have not if you ask not. You're going to have to reach out, and then reach out to the right people. As we talked about, that's one of the problems. And then when you reach out, you're going to have to be appreciative. I think a lot of people care about you more than you think they do, but you're going to have to prime their pump. You're going to have to send out the SOS. And we can be occupied with self-pity and say, there's a lot of folks out there that want to care about you, but they don't even know that you want to care. But again, I'd be selective. And again, I'd be appreciative when I got that concern that you showed me. Well, I hope that this morning I've helped you a little bit with this problem that all of us have from time to time. I'm just saying things aren't as black as maybe you think they are. And some of the problem could be with you rather than the people themselves. I'm not saying all of it is, but there's some possibilities now we gave this morning that might help you get more concern and care for you that you need and that you deserve. If these messages are helping you, then that's what the Lord wants.